Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. We just had some rain yesterday. I've started my garden, so I'm delighted to be in the full swing of spring. Sometimes you get a little bit too busy, but, you know, thinking of the sound of water, you can't eat gold and you can't drink oil. And money tends to rule everything these days, and that's what I'll be talking about. Again, this my precept today is the parable of the unjust steward says it all. And my overall theme has been the Bible and climate engineering. And by climate engineering, the main means to do that, to modify weather unknowing to populations, is through jet sprayed aerosols, chemicals like in nanoparticles of aluminum, other heavy metals are sprayed over the, sprayed in the sky and form cobwebs, lines in the sky become cobwebs, and eventually a plasma or an envelope of clouds. And these particles, you know, it takes particles to create clouds. That can be manipulated, and we get this weather whiplash. And then a fundamental question is, why do we play God with the weather? The billions of years that the earth formed and the climate formed, we've had a sustaining, thriving planet, which unfortunately, in my opinion, humanity is quickly destroying and we have not much time to salvage. So a most fundamental war on the planet. Not the only war. There's many war ways that we've been poor stewards of the planet. And again, that gets to my topic of the unjust steward. So I'll share a little bit more and read from that passage in the Bible. But I just want to go over what I'm doing today, a few other topics that I'd like to cover. And also just a point that I've had some technical difficulty where I've not been able to fix it, and I apologize for that. So if my computer goes black on me, I need the password, and I can't. I have it, but this is my wife's computer. So I'll do my best to keep the computer open so I have quick access to some of the facts I want to share, or the poetry as well. Another thing I'd like to do is just a shout out to Brother Takomi. As Easter was happening, and it's been about 3 weeks since my last blog, work got in the way. It was very helpful to hear the energy, the positive enthusiasm, the expertise being able to find scripture very rapidly and have others share it and get kind of a team effort to explain what Easter is really all about. And it was very special for me to share at the family dinner table with the parable of the unjust steward before we ate on the, you know, the Sunday holiday, so to speak. Perhaps not the correct time to celebrate, but that we did, as most people do. And so again, it's interesting too how Brother Tacome is very well acquainted with and quickly, adroitly is able to find parts of the scripture and, you know, tie them into his theme, but also numerology, that, you know, names are associated with numbers, you know, that there's a biblical code. It's something I don't have time to pursue, but, you know, there's something to it. That's all I can say. It fascinates me. And I'd also like to just point of admission that as much as I appreciate the opportunity to talk on this radio and express what I'm thinking kind of in a sense of a diary of the treasure hunt for truth and trying to get the truth out about things like climate engineering and what we need to do to be better stewards of this planet so that indeed we have a future for our kids, for future generations, and even for ourselves. I mean, we, in my opinion, are under imminent threat. So, again, I'm finding more and more as I've been kind of drifted away from the church and, you know, attending services. I have looked outside the Bible. I've looked into the Gnostic Gospel. So it's not that I'm out of touch, you know, but it does help to find, it's refreshing to read the New Testament and just find how deeply spiritual it is and how important it is to stay connected to biblical scripture. Even though, you know, there's a lot of misinterpretation and there's a lot of false prophets out there. You have to be careful. And that's where I think I come in handy to this community, the spiritual community, where climate engineering is such a fundamental war on the planet, yet I consider it perhaps the biggest lie ever perpetrated on humanity and our planet, in that it's called condensation trails. I mean, how many decades have they been pulling the wool over our eyes? Well, anyways, let me get to the reading. Luke chapter 16. From this chapter, verse 8 was cited in a previous blog. For the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their own kind than the sons of the light. And that's verse 7. Verse 17 is as follows. But it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one stroke of the letter of the law to fail. And from the beginning, what prompted my connection with Brother Job, and who's provided me this opportunity to speak and share with others, is the law of life, where, you know, any population, biologists know this, you increase a population and food supply at the loss of other populations, and things will balance out eventually. In other words, a collapse of a population that goes so high, such as ours, you know, is in process. In the news media now, there is very much talk about shortage of food supplies are increasing rapidly. So these are tough times, but, you know, we must overcome our fear. And if nothing else, use our rage at this ridiculous situation we're in to do something about it. So my interpretation of this parable is that highly esteemed wealthy persons, claiming earth belongs to them more or less, have unjust stewards, those who serve mammon or the wealthy owners of money. In other words, The unjust stewards served the wealthy. They have created their laws with which to negotiate the exchange of wealth and money. And God has sons of light as stewards. We belong to this earth. It's God's creation. It can't be topped. And the sons of light, the stewards of our planet, have been tricked or fooled by those who claim the earth belongs to them, those who worship wealth, money, mammon. The ultimate challenge for all life to continue existing on this planet is to continue or is to connect our minds to our hearts. Verse 15, it says it all, and that's why I put the parable of the unjust steward says it all. Thus of mammon, or I'm sorry, verse 15, God knows what goes on within our hearts. And I pause. That which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God. So I conclude, thus the cult of mammon to own and enslave all must be stopped, or we lose all to extinction. And as the Hopis say, we are who we are waiting for. To just sit back and say, let God take care of it, or to say, let's hope some Martians are out there that will come and save us, that's turning your back to an oncoming train, in my opinion. So, whether physical laws like that of gravity or the law among the living, not one stroke of the letter of the law can fail or be violated. So, one species cannot overpopulate at the loss of all other species. That law of life equals extinction, or is an equation for extinction, inviolable and certain. So we must awaken to this ongoing enslavement, such as this engineered pandemic, and stop those who carry it out. I will discuss an update of Dane Wigington with his Geoengineering Watch website, the man who spent 20 years in this battle for salvation, to stop climate engineering, the jet spraying of particles mixed with the control by radio frequency microwave manipulation of these particles from the ground, or who knows, even from the air. In other words, the power for weather to be manipulated on a cross-border situation in large regions, large chunks of the earth, and to be used as a weapon. For example, you can create droughts, or you can create snowstorms, sudden snowstorms, to fool people to think that all is well, that even though the weather's wacky, we still, global climate shift is not happening. And by climate shift, again, given the industrialized, militarized society of the last 300 years, this tremendous amount of energy released, living off the dead and mortgaging our future for our children, is not working. And with Dane's update, his verifiable connection of climate engineering as a means to spread virus to infected populations. I'll get into that. I also want to discuss five public figures who work with the dark forces of the cabal. The group Anonymous and a misleading offshoot QAnon that is not associated with Anonymous, but taking their format to mislead people. That's a bit of an aside, but a friend or a coworker, and I consider him a friend, but I think he's misled in many ways. It's just an interesting point that Anonymous back in 2013 is a group that found, they're computer hackers, so to speak, and they wear the Fox mask. That's this mask from an old powder rebellion or something back in England. And it got great popularity, where this mischievous looking mask, where there's a mustachioed person with a goatee, you know, that's the mask, and kind of a scary looking mask. But when you wear it, you're anonymous. And it's just an a rebellious form where people are revolting against a cause. So it was interesting how Anonymous on a 12-minute video explained totally their support of stopping climate engineering. That was back in 2013. And they had all the credible information about what it is. So I think their computer hacking gave them access to the many documents that are out there that truly expose the lie that jet sprayed aerosols are just, the lie is that jet sprayed aerosols are just condensation trails. They truly know exactly the danger of this technology. So that's why I'm including them. Well, enough with that. And if I have a little time, I want a little explanation of the meaning of some portions of my recent poetry relating to today's theme, the unjust steward. But let me begin with an update on the COVID situation with Dane Wigington. And people are catching on to the commonality of some of these headlines, which Dane has brought out right away. So, for example, Andrew Fauci has reportedly spent $3.7 million sent to Wuhan in a collaborative effort for gain-of-function studies. In other words, how can we find a way to isolate a virus from a bat or another animal and make it jump over to humans? And his collaborator also, Deb Burke. And especially, how can people get by this? It was 2017 when Dr. Fauci announced that there would be a surprise pandemic. So I hope everybody gets that. That's so fundamental, is that how does he know? Why is he announcing a surprise pandemic unless he knows there is going to be one? So, you know, he had to have inside knowledge to say that. And then let's go to Mr. Gates, Bill Gates. No medical background with this man, yet he's fought his way into the World Health Organization and UNICEF. So he practically runs the organization because of his stature. Only later, after these extremely tragic vaccination outcomes, where in India he boosted five shots or five doses of polio vaccine up to 50. What did result? 496,000 kids had symptoms of paralysis, and I'm sure some died. As Dane Wigington says, and also as Robert Kennedy Jr. says, what gave this guy the right to treat other people as lesser human beings? What gave him the right to be God to decide whether people live or die? And also the Kenyan priest, Catholic priest, denounced Gates for his, it was shots for tetanus, if I understand it right, sterilized many, many, many young women in Kenya. It's just unbelievable how deep his billions of dollars, this unjust steward, what he's done. And I heard on tape that he has said that vaccination can be a component of reducing populations. So, you know, they're even giving us clues outright what's on their agenda, which is eugenics. There's nothing short of that. I mean, if the person said it and he's doing it, we better become aware of it quickly. So, so the Gates Foundation, global health leaders launched decade-long vaccination collaboration. So he's done that for years now. And as Dane says, the militarized, industrialized society is going down the drain before COVID was even happened. So you don't let just all this attention on the pandemic prevent you from the fundamental underlying problem we face, and that is the collapse of the climate, the collapse of life on Earth. These are harsh words, but from my years of study, I have to say what I have to say. I can't get around it. And as Dane says, does Earth have some kind of magic thermostat? So here, you know, being a burner of hydrocarbons myself, I don't, you know, I often have to wonder, well, this is the way I get food and, you know, comfortable living. But at the same time, you know, a friend at work who worked out on the oil fields, he just loved it. He had a great time doing it without a thought. Yet at the same time, this man, if he only realized that when with the oil boom out in Canada, where the sand fields, whatever you call it, you know, the water's been contaminated now for miles and square miles and square miles. So how is that going to come back? So it seems like this desperate effort to get the last that we can and drain all the oil from the earth, that's why we're going down the toilet in a way. It's insanity where somebody like this, you know, he's very intelligent in ways, this coworker, and he understands there are, you know, the conspiracy theory, so-called conspiracy theory about 9/11. He understands that 9/11 was an inside job. In my opinion, it was an inside job. I've said this on other blogs where now we have a four-year university study that absolutely proves that the NIST report is bogus, that they take the theory that there was one girder that started the fall because of the office fire. Well, the best of the best assembled and tested this theory that one girder can take down a whole building in 7 seconds, and it didn't even come close. So it's now proven that, you know, if you start with the physical evidence and forget all the conspiracy out there, just start with factual physical evidence. This should raise questions to anyone that indeed Building 7 had to be taken down by, you know, controlled demolition. So I'm starting to ramble here, and I don't want to get too far into it, but so many things come to mind. There's so much information out there. But just to end up COVID, you know, to ferret out facts, to have a clear lens, Common Dreams is a recent report where the U.S. knew, Israel knew, NATO knew back in November that this pandemic was going to happen or that we needed to take the steps to do it. So U.S. Intel had all this information probably the second week of November. And remember, Mr. Gates was the leader of this mock pandemic on October 18th. And that was just like before anthrax happened, they had a mock exercise. So it's like the governments were practicing under the ruse of what they were going to do in the near future. So there's an article that came out, I think in the New Yorker and other sources, and this was the April 25th, Global Engineering Watch News. And it's worth saying quickly, you know, some of the threats that face us. There's 10 catastrophic threats that face the planet. The decline of natural resources or water, ecosystems and biodiversity collapse, human population beyond carrying capacity, perhaps 500% past our carrying capacity. And what Dane says is, look, some people will say, well, you could put the whole planet on Texas. You know, we have the space to do that. You could take almost 9 billion people in that small country of Texas. So are we okay? Well, Dane has 2,000 acres of land, and he says nothing will grow on it. You can't even get food. It's been so sprayed and contaminated by the geoengineering. It's been an epicenter. So, you know, the energy budget and so forth, when like the fires in Australia, we really have to think seriously now how we can stop this, this insanity. Reading on, global warming, abrupt climate collapse. Environmental groups deny climate engineering, yet climate engineering is a chief culprit of this climate collapse or abrupt climate shift. Again, as I've said, whether it's the fires or ozone destruction based on these operations or the poisoning of the soil so that plants can't grow, and on and on. And then number five, chemical pollution of the atmosphere. Food insecurity and nutrient quality is poor. Production collapse. Nuclear weapons, power plants, Fukushima times 400 when things start flooding. Pandemics of new and untreatable diseases. Again, as Dane says, we have level four biolabs. What are they for? Biowarfare. I mean, all these experiments that are not supposed to be done, there's laws against gain of function, where you can hop in a short time a dangerous virus from an animal and make it attenuate it into humans. So on and on it goes. Number nine, uncontrolled new technology, radio frequency bombardment, 5G. Again, 5G will incinerate insects, and it's been a military weapon of mind control. So negative after negative here. Number 10, failure to act preventively to take on these risks. Well, case in point, the administration obviously purposely, though they knew the crisis was at hand, they purposely let it go for 2 months. And does that mean Democrats would be any better? No, it's, again, in my opinion, we're not here about politics. We have to step aside from left-right battle that splits us all. This is about survival. So the total betrayal, number 11, that wasn't mentioned in the article, and it never is, and that is climate engineering. That's the 11th cause of all the planetary crisis that we face. So the New York Times also mentions the hunger level at 265 million people starving, so forth. It's going bonkers. And I'm seeing food prices too inflate quite fast. So technology has allowed us to loot, pillage, and plunder. This delusion that there's a technological solution is far from fact. Dave said this many times, and again in the simplest form, technology deteriorates, nature rejuvenates. That doesn't mean we can't use sophisticated technology, but again, the fossil fuel fiesta is over. It's not going to get us anywhere. So mass denial, distraction, willful blindness. A fool believes what he thinks, a wise man what he sees. So a very, in my opinion, miraculously eloquent portrayal of the sum of things was said by Mr. Wigington on April 25th on his Saturday Global Engineering. I want to say Global Engineering Watch, but that's incorrect. I space out sometimes, but just let's call it Global Watch, his radio blog. So abandoning belief systems in exchange for fact-based perspectives and conclusions requires extraordinary strength, effort, and courage. Making this exchange can and does put us at odds with who we were before. It puts us at odds with our closest relationships, with family, with friends, with what is still the majority herd in a world that is silent about the truth. And one voice can tilt the scale in the right direction. To thine own self be true. we cannot ignore the calling of conscience. The great traditions have pointed us in the right directions. But what direction will we choose to travel as glaring realities become impossible to ignore or deny? Biblical scripture states this: before you knew the truth, your guilt was washed away. Now that you know, guilt remains. Countless traditions teach the same. When I was 14 years old, I found the philosophies of the Stoics. It forever altered my view of the world and what matters, of what not, of why we are here. Can sum it up with this principle of the Stoic teaching: it would be better to suffer 1,000 deaths than to desert the post at which your Creator has placed you. So that inspired Dane to, you know, launch into the treasure hunt for truth, to really find out, you know, what is he here? What's his purpose? And indeed, he's followed through like no other human I can imagine. And in the end, the person that masters such is there to teach others to do the same, just as Jesus did his best with his disciples to teach them to become masters. So why are so many self-proclaimed spiritual teachers in so many circles and traditions hiding behind their pulpits and saying exactly nothing about the most critical issues of all, exactly nothing, and worse, encouraging their congregations to do the same? And yes, I, you know, this is Rob Christensen here. I personally went to my church. I was going to make an announcement. The minister that I did meet and talk with did all the announcements. She didn't ask for anyone else to make an announcement. So that was a sign to me that, you know, frightened of 501c3 protection, not wanting to, as soon as you mention something like 9/11 or climate engineering, you're not allowed in the congregation. That's, you know, I could go into that on another blog. But I've been told to my, this is back to Dane, I've been told to my face by every interdenominational leader in Redding, California, that they, quote, don't want to know about climate engineering, weather warfare operations. They tell me that they don't need to worry about it, that it's, quote, in God's hands. Such a response is nothing short of cowardice and hypocrisy. The same self-proclaimed spiritual leaders also refuse to even investigate, let alone do anything about scientifically proven vaccination dangers or countless other assaults on creation and the human race. What does biblical scripture state about this hypocrisy, about these who claim to be faithful and obedient to their Creator, claim to be virtuous and moral, yet hide in the shadows while the power structure crimes of the criminal cabal or of unimaginable magnitude continue to accelerate? Biblical scripture states this, that Christ said, quote, get away from me, I never knew you. All the great spiritual traditions, the wisest that have ever graced our species with their teachings, have made clear that we, all of us, have responsibility to the whole, that we don't own our lives, but rather we owe them to the whole. Those with children, we certainly owe our lives to these children without question. Without the whole, without the web of life, we also will perish along with our posterity. Never have been given the choice. Please forgive me for my ranting, but after nearly 20 years in this battle, frustration toward willful blindness and apathy can be difficult to be silent about. Again, elected officials, official agencies, science community, mainstream media, spiritual groups, and let's not forget environmental organizations all are participating in criminal deception, all to preserve their own personal paradigms for a moment in time at the cost of the loss of the whole forever. As I've stated so many times, those in power could not do what they do without legions of willfully blind and morally bankrupt order followers. This equation must change, or we have no chance of averting near-term planetary omnicide. So those are harsh words, needless to say. But, you know, given, you know, the insanity that something that's true, that the experimentation with weather is still at this point in time, people haven't risen up and said, at least what's going on? You know, why is there not an overwhelming critical mass demanding at minimum an investigation of what's gone on for these last decades? Just as with, you know, the nuclear testing, the video on bombed soldiers, it was 50 years after most of the soldiers died from cancer who were exposed to these weapons tests, 50 years that it really, you know, the truth comes out loud and clear from these victims who are still alive. So just a little pause here to catch my breath. I want to go on to the Bible. I meant to do that a little earlier, but getting back to the theme of the unjust steward, I want to read the whole thing and then just a few comments. It won't take long. And just got to get to the beginning. So, chapter 16 of Luke. Now he was also saying to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward. And this steward was reported to him as squandering his possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. And the steward said to himself, what shall I do, since my master is taking the stewardship away from me? I am not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that when I am removed from the stewardship, they will receive me into their homes. And he summoned each one of his master's debtors, and he began saying to the first, how much do you owe the master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and write 80. And his master praised the unrighteous steward because he had acted shrewdly. For the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their own kind than the sons of light. And, you know, that's the quote here that I've said in previous blogs where good people have been tricked, and we are now starting to awaken to how we've been tricked, and we need to act and stand our ground, and it's salvation's battle. That's why this steward, the parable of the unjust steward, in a way says it all. I'll go on. So it is. So, and his master praised the unrighteous steward because he had acted shrewdly for the sons. I won't repeat that. And I say to you, make friends of yourself by means of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. He who is faithful in very little is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little is also unrighteous also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon, who will entrust true riches to you? Just like, you know, the master was telling him that, you know, I've heard you've been unjust, so I have to fire you. If therefore you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon, who will entrust you the true riches to you? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? So no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all these things, and they were scoffing at him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knows your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God." So the law of the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since then, the gospel of the kingdom of God is preached, and everyone is forcing their way into it. But it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one stroke of the letter of the law to fail. So that ends the parable, and it goes, chapter 16 goes on further with other very profound parables. But just to say, you know, the whole theme of climate engineering in the Bible and the discussion of extinction got me started on this blog. And in a way, this says it all, because whether you look at the prophecy rock, where it's very clear that there's two life paths, the upper path starts a zigzag, and from the zigzag it goes to an end. And then there's a cross down to the lower path, and the lower path goes on to continue into the future. The lower path is of people grounded. And I can use the example of indigenous people. They are grounded. It's not that they refute all modernity and inventions and technology. But my point of it is, they live in a sustainable way. They worship creation, and they are true to it. Whereas, you know, in the upper path, the zigzag path, it's kind of a craziness where, you know, we're just so far out of whack that we're leading, you know, ourselves to an end. But the whole point, what the picture is worth a billion years, in my opinion, in this particular rock, because it does show a way to cross down toward the very, very end of the zigzag, which appears obviously extinction, the end of life. It doesn't mean we can't start stepping down that path and recovering. And it may be a salvage process, and it may take, who knows, thousands of years to recover this planet. But beginning as soon as possible, stepping down and then crossing down to the lower path, again, retaining our knowledge, retaining technological abilities, but for once not externalizing the cost of products and things onto the planet, but only knowing a system where sustainability, you know, whatever cost, if money's exchanged or bartering or whatever it is, we have to account for our impact on nature. So, you know, as I said earlier, if I can find it here, let me flip the page. I think Dane caps it very well in this sentence here. The global power structure is focused on culling the herd in a vain and destructive attempt to ensure their own survival for as long as possible. And, you know, he goes on to talk about Bill Gates, Mr. Eugenics, whatever you want to say. But he says it all there. It's this diabolical scheme, whatever it is. If you look at the protocols of Zion, as they were written in the plan to more or less take over the world, it's this separation, that this false belief that because we're surrounded in a material world, that there is no spiritual world that, you know, that binds us all together, that, you know, objects are separate from each other. So the more we separate, you know, that seems to be the perception that leads us down this zigzag path, is that it's all about material wealth, that in whatever way we can gain material wealth and comfort is all that matters. It's our own tunnel vision, our own myopic view of self needs versus connecting with everybody else, connecting with life on Earth, connecting with the beauties of the planet. Instead, you know, we've become poor stewards over time. So it's very harsh, it's a very painful reality to face, but you know, as Dane has indicated in his Stoic philosophy, that, you know, we have to take our post and stick with it. If there's a truth that we believe in, you know, we have to deal with it. And one way I've been doing that is I wrote a letter to my local legislator. I do have my doubts that he'll answer, but I'm persistent. He's from the military. He's been a prosecutor. He works for legal. He has a company. He's Democrat, works with the environmental things and this and that. But, you know, my goal is, we've lost our freedom of assembly, at least temporarily and probably indefinitely. We can write letters. And to support my profession as a post office contractor, you know, I sent a handwritten letter with materials that photo fact materials supplied by Dane Wigington and his website. And in the letter, you know, I very much indicated the urgency that we're facing, that we can no longer have this ruinous political divide that the Democrats believe in warming, for example, that the Earth is warming, and the Republicans more or less deny that. Yet the Republicans will more often believe in such a thing as climate engineering, as a distrust of government entities. And the Democrats more or less completely deny the reality of climate engineering. You know, I can't generalize too much, but it's an example of how political divide keeps us from the truth. It, you know, if they've often used Al Gore as a whipping boy, so to speak, just for bringing up climate engineering, yet Al Gore is a falsie. He couldn't be further from the truth about the crisis. He makes the crisis seem pretty mild, that we've got, you know, at first that we've got 100 years to deal with it. And of course, the headlines more and more every day now come out. Well, we got to admit that this is worse than we thought. And it's kind of frustrating to see that this slow awakening process, it can't happen quick enough. So there's some other parts I wanted to get to. I'll wake up the computer here since, as I said, the technical difficulty to keep it on. I haven't the password. So there's five public figures who I want to talk about a little bit with the time remaining. What time is it? I've got about 10 minutes. And let me find it. Well, Donald Trump is one of them. Henry Kissinger is another. Andrew Fauci is a third. Bill Gates, the fourth, and Ken Caldera is the fifth. And let me start out with Ken Caldera, because that's not a familiar name, I'm sure. But Ken Caldera is like the second highest geoengineer on the planet. And according to Dane has played the tape. Ken has worked for the military. He's on tape saying that he has experimented with aerosols sprayed from jets as a means for bio warfare, or, you know, as a bio weapon, that we can, you know, spray these lethal bioweapons or germs, viruses, whatever it is, he's experimented with the means to do that. Well, here's the disturbing connection with Ken Caldera. It's Bill Gates. Bill Gates has called Ken Caldera his teacher. So Gates is very much interested in eugenics. It's obvious. He's even said so. So, you know, he can pose, you know, to get public credibility, he can pose as a person pro anti-oil, or we've got to reduce carbon, you know, carbon emissions. That's how people get climb up the ladder of evil, that they pose half-truths. And yes, you know, he's probably doing some good things in regard to reducing carbons. But, you know, whoever gave him the right to experiment with young children and knowingly kill them? And knowingly, you know, the vaccines he's dealt with, even though he doesn't have a medical background, again, if almost 500,000 children have been victims of your vaccines, how can you live with that? You have to be sick. And so Gates is connected with Ken Caldera. Gates is connected with Kissinger. Kissinger is connected with Trump. Trump is connected with Fauci. Fauci is connected with Gates. So, you know, if you talk about the shadow cabal, you know, they're right in front of us. And I think it's kind of interesting to tie into this group Anonymous that I mentioned briefly. Anonymous, again, clearly understands the perils of climate engineering. They've had the courage to, you know, make a tape condemning it. And yet a misleading offshoot, QAnon, QAnon meaning intelligence clearance, that's what Q means, I guess, that the Trump administration is heroically going to find criminals within the intelligence community and lock them up. But again, I just don't know where people can fall for that. And Anonymous as a group has put out a 3-minute video against QAnon saying, you know, at first we thought this was kind of a joke, but the sheep are eating it up. In other words, QAnon has gained immense popularity. And again, it's disturbing that it's just human nature, it seems, that we always look for a leader to save us instead of to thine own self be true. You know, just trust yourself, dig for truth for yourself, and really be mistrustful. And I want to give you an example, too, that I meant to earlier, but just in my personal life, I catch myself, you know, none of us is perfect. I said I was going to take this box of mail back to a small town on the way back to the hub of the mail. I ran out of time. I decided to gamble, and instead of telling them what I told them I would do, I went to the hub with this mail, believing that it would get mailed in the morning mail on time. Well, I got an email later on that morning that saying, where did I put the mail? So apparently, you know, the clerk at that post office noticed that that box that I promised didn't arrive. And that's where I think the parable of the unjust steward is so important, because I felt kind of miserable and I felt the negativity, you know, kind of the negative vibe from the person as I came that day. I didn't discuss anything at the time. I was kind of frustrated with the whole thing. Like it says in the parable of the unjust steward, if you make a small lie, that means you're capable of making a big lie. And even though I justified what I did and I was on time, I did come back the next day and apologize to the coworker. That clerk that I wanted to apologize was not there, but her coworker, you know, I said, if I come back here again, I want to be on your better graces. Taking the gamble of going to the hub where the mail might get misplaced, I didn't go directly to that small post office station. And I said that was a mistake. I could have called for backup help because I was late. So, you know, that's the best I could do. But that's just a personal example that how careful we need to be. And as Brother Tacomi has said so clearly, you know, the lamb, the purity of the lamb, of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that there are some wonderful people on this planet, and they are masters in many ways. Dane Wigington, I consider one of them. And, you know, Robert Kennedy Jr., for example, it was Mr. Trump that was going to work with Robert Kennedy Jr. on finding the dangers of vaccines, not to totally condemn vaccines. But isn't that a case in point? Trump drops Robert Kennedy and goes to David Gates full force. That's an unjust steward. You know, we're to be, obviously, this miraculous planet that's so distant from wherever the next planet is, if one can believe there is more living planets. You know, we're coming down to a choice. And it's just disturbing sometimes how we're not reaching that choice. Kind of lost my train of thought. Forgive me for that. I do rant a little bit here. But it is interesting, you know, with little time left, the Kissinger statement, I want to say, now Kissinger's condemned Trump for his behavior with this epidemic. But at the same time, listen to this. This is a Kissinger quote. I give him huge credit. Donald Trump is a phenomenon that foreign countries have not seen. So it is shocking that he comes to office, an extraordinary opportunity. Well, this almost 100-year-old man, you know, is behind 9/11. He's out there shouting out, blaming the Arab terrorists or whatever, when it was, you know, when Building 7 was destroyed by explosive demolition. So can we just leave the Arabs out of this? And let's take a look at, you know, that, you know, here's a well-reputed criminal. And as the unjust steward story says, you know, be careful of people like this. God detests them. And that's so true. And I could go on and on, but I'm running out of time. And I did promise I was going to get to my poems if I can just wrap things up. But I wanted to read from page 2 of Treasure Hunt for Truth. Let's see if I can find it. So I had fun times with the treasure hunt. You know, I'm looking for a truth, which is $10,000 buried in snow. But there's the unworld, which I have awoken to, which has changed my life. So here's the second line. Un is ample, for example. Here's a sample. Inconceivably mad, its wrath, unbelievably sad, psychopath. Clues drawn, such as prophecy rock, or in scripture, as such as the unjust parable. Hint of a big picture, of people lost when right is wrong, as if to earth they don't belong. War can be no more on this path we wend. Too many sabers rattle. Trapped we are in horror, leading life to end. Join salvation's battle. Extinction just around the bend. Too much compete, too much compare, puts too much heat into the air. One is fun, the other on, which do you pursue? A road less traveled has begun. There is so much to do. What I choose for my deeds is un, seeking truth from confusion, solace rather than illusion. The greatest challenge, hard to manage, leave good old days behind. Save and salvage, take advantage. Connect your heart to mind. Time now treasured and urgency, not just for pleasure. Focus coping and emergency, not just hoping. Rage up from frightened, fearless, enlightened. Surpass the duel of happy, sad, dwell sublime. And what I mean by that is there is a timeless joy of enlightenment, even in the starkest moment. It's not like I'm happy about the future, but at the same time, when you're fighting and you're standing ground, there is a joy that goes beyond just happy, sad. It's like happy is, oh, we won the soccer game. Sad, we lost the soccer game. You know, it's more superficial. But sublime is deep. Sublime madness is what a term that I feel that I'm living through. So surpass the dual happy, sad, dwell sublime. Contest the cruel, angry, mad, quell the crime. Should you pace on the un, hone your mass. Find your grace, joyous one, own your path. And by hone your mass, I mean we are in exponential collapse right now, exponential times. And if the mass says, well, gradually, like a linear slope, you know, it's a little hot now, it's going to be a little hotter 20 years later, then you haven't honed your math. So with that, I'll close. I've run up my hour, and I've got to prepare for my work day and the rest. But thank you so much for listening, and hopefully I can develop my programming to a point where I can interact with people, and I hope later on some can catch this. That's the great thing about the internet, that what's not heard today can be heard a year from now. So all the best and blessings to all. Thank you.
Sounds of the Living Water radio show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water radio show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, recovering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, radio show. Sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, radio show. Sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, radio show. Sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, radio show.